This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to the Wells Tech podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is episode 367 for November 11th, 2014, a little show where we talk about technology and ministry. We do it at 1600 hours every Tuesday afternoon, or almost every Tuesday afternoon, and joining me on those Tuesdays, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. This Tuesday is a little bit different because my little button says off air, not on air. Just checking with you to make sure yours says on air.
It says live.
You're the one that matters, so that's good. I don't know if my communication is staggered or behind everything
just
else.
Just feed those chipmunks over at MLC there. Get you a little bit better bandwidth.
I'm going to trust the man behind the curtain, the man in front of the camera over there, that this is being recorded because we have great stuff to talk about today.
I'm excited to
revisit What's Best Next, a book selection we made for this year of podcasting. And, you know, you missed out on last month's discussion of What's Best
Next. I did. We should probably do a little shout-out to Rob Gunther for ably filling in. Probably better resource than I am, since he sits in that pastor's office and has to deal with this productivity stuff. But having said that, this book is really not just for pastors. It really is for any Christian who wants to be productive. And that really came through loud and clear in this particular section that we're going to talk about today.
You know, Martin, we've done this book selection, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7 times now, and this is the first time we actually picked a productivity book, kind of a sweet spot for you. You do a lot of presentations and things in the area of productivity. I think probably the most popular productivity system out there is something called Getting Things Done, made popular by David Allen, and great system. He's all about inbox zero and mind like water and all kinds of catchphrases like that. Very popular all over, and you'll see a lot of resources around that. I think Matt takes it to a different level, and he does appeal to the Christian heart in particular, in that everything we do in our sanctified life, our life after the cross of Jesus, is done with motivation of thankfulness to God for that gift of salvation.
Yeah, I don't know if he takes it to another level. He definitely comes at it from a different angle. In fact, he references Getting Things Done in one of the chapters that we were looking at in this particular section. And I think rightly so, but there's some nuances, I think, to the way he's approaching things. And certainly from a Christian's perspective, a mind like water, and we'll make this point a little bit later on when we look at the chapter, is supposed to be, you know, clearing the decks, making sure that you have this level of peace and comfort so that you can respond appropriately to all these inputs in your life. And rightly so, Matt talks about that source of peace being our salvation in Christ, and God being the source of comfort and peace each day. So that's something that that's a productivity tool that every Christian has, and that's kind of a neat. That's kind of the point of the book.
Yeah, as I thought about how to summarize what I read in this part two of the book, it's titled Gospel-Driven Productivity, this section of the book. I kind of thought about putting on some rose-colored glasses, actually looking at every single component of everything around me, all the things that I interact with, all the things that I do, from that perspective of living my sanctified life, of everything I do in thankfulness and service to others because of that gift God's given me. So it's a different perspective, for sure, and I just It gave me some food for thought, for sure. I know we study these things and we read these things maybe in Bible class or in family devotions or whatever, but to actually turn around and apply that life of service in Christ to my to-do list, which today isn't too long, but it's often a very long list of things to do, I kind of lose that perspective on a day-to-day work basis.
Right. So one of the points that we've made when we talked about this book in the past, and I'm sure you talked about it last week with Rob, was that the key point in each day, or key points in each day, is that decision where you're deciding what to do next, where Matt says, well, what's best next? What he means by that is, what is it under God that you should be doing at this particular point in time as his ambassador, as a disciple of Christ? So I kind of highlighted a section there in chapter 5. If people are following along at home, that chapter is called Why the Things You Do Every Day Matter. And the first question that's posed in that section is, what does God want done? And that's really the question, that's the big question of stewardship. What does God want done? What does God want me to do right now? The first paragraph following that references Matthew 5:16. He said, good works. What God wants done are good works. We see that right in Matthew 5:16, where Jesus sums up for us the entire purpose of our lives. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And this is kind of woven throughout all of these chapters in this section where, you want to do good works, but why is it that you want to do good works? And Matthew 5:16 makes that pretty clear, that they'll see your good works and give glory to your Father. So make sure that arrow's pointed in the right direction. There are all kinds of reasons to want to be productive, to get more things done. Some of them are financial related, some of them are stress related, some of them are position related, some of them are somewhat narcissistic, where you want people to think better of you. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to Matthew 5:16, that they're going to see us and what we do to the point of glorifying our Father.
Good point, Martin. I think he brings out very well, that it's Jesus who did these things for us and that we're doing it after the fact in response to that. That justification part is explained very clearly in the book. And he even says the only way to be productive is to realize you don't have to be productive. So kind of letting go of a lot of maybe the legalistic kind of drive
right.
to get everything
Law
done.
Law motivated, yeah.
List. Mm-hmm. And, realizing that you need to focus, you need to pick what's best next, and you need to do it to God's glory.
One section that I highlighted, Sally, that I thought was interesting is one where he references Don Cathy. That name doesn't sound familiar to you. He's the president of Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you're a fan of Chick-fil-A or as big a fan of Chick-fil-A mm-hmm. as I am, but that's one of our favorite places to eat. And it's not just because of the food. It's really an environment, a Christian environment. So they're not open on Sunday, for instance. And if you go into one, and at least that's been my experience, if we go into one, just the service is so outstanding. There's a smile. They go above and beyond. And you really get the sense that they're practicing what's written in this book, that they're serving because, and I don't know if they're all Christian, but it certainly seems that way, that they're serving because they want to serve, that they want to do good works. And not just for the sake of doing good works, but it's really an interesting business model. And every time you go in a Chick-fil-A, and this is more anecdotal than anything else, it's just packed. There's people in there all the time. Even when they took flack for some of their views and stances on who they could hire and who they want to hire and who they don't. The support for their organization was just overwhelming. So I was really interested to read that he references a time where he actually heard Don Cathy speak, and it was inspiring to him.
Yeah, I think that quote even brings out, you know, they even have high standards for their parking lot. You know, they want their parking lot to be a service to the people that come there, you know, and you see that reflected in everything about the business model that they put forth. So, right. Yeah.
A lot to be learned there, maybe even from a church, you know, trying to do the same thing. The church is in the business of service, after all, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Going back to the GTD topic, there's a section in this chapter or series of chapters where he talks about that mind-like water kind of peace, and he draws the parallel with the verse Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he breaks that down piece by piece, that we, in the GTD framework, we're supposed to record everything in a trusted system and, you know, not let anything fall through the cracks. We know it's in our trusted system, but in God's framework that he lays out for us in his word and is highlighted in this verse, we're supposed to turn everything over to him. And that's going to give us that peace. That peace that even our trusted GTD system can't provide us, that peace that only God can give.
Right, yeah. And he makes that was the second of the 3 points that he was making. You know, get everything out of your mind of this trusted system is let your requests be made known to God. So, you know, take all of those to God. The first one was the reference to mind like water. Obviously, the Philippians passage talks about the peace of God and not being anxious because you have that God that doesn't change, that is always listening, that is always providing. And then the third point was, and I'll just read the paragraph here, notice that both GTD and Philippians advocate being comprehensive about getting everything out of your mind. For the passage says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything let your request be made known to God. When David Allen speaks about getting things out of your head and getting everything incomplete out of your head rather than just some, he's echoing the same truth that the Apostle Paul is calling attention to here. So I should say, I'm a big GTE fan, and I think it's really helped me and, you know, the things that I do. I think he probably draws maybe too stiff a line between, you know, God's way and this and the GTD way. I think there are techniques and tools that are really helpful, or I've found really helpful as a Christian. Yeah, knowing that God's got it under control, but knowing also that God's given me tools to keep things organized and be as productive as possible. So I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and, where you're trying to figure out different ways that work for you. And as a Christian, we definitely have these beautiful passages like Philippians 4, but then ultimately we understand that we also have some approaches that we can take that are going to be helpful to us to, yeah, live at peace with God, but also get peace with our surroundings too, and know that, boy, at times it can be absolutely overwhelming. And, yeah, take that to God, but God said, you know, use your smarts, man or woman. Use these tools that you've got available to you.
Right. There is one section in this, and I can't tell you which chapter I remember reading it from, but that he talks about doing everything, you know, to God's glory, living that sanctified life, everything that you do. And he says that doesn't mean you have to overdo it, and it doesn't mean you have to be lazy. You know, find the place that's correct for you. And I think, I don't know, but I'm guessing a lot of our listeners have that challenge of erring on the side of overcommitting and overdoing. And then when you do have a system like GTD, or Matt outlines a system in the last half of this book, that's going to help you to achieve a lot more than you probably could without such system in place. So, you know, it does up the productivity level, I think.
So part of the appeal of a system like GTD is that you have the ability to get everything down, and then ultimately when you say yes to something, you know what that means in relation to all the other stuff that you've already said yes to. And it also gives you the ability, I think, to say no to the appropriate things, because then you can say, well, this is really a priority. This is something that that I've already also made a commitment to.
That part of the equation, that saying no part, that's the part that I hadn't quite got yet. So I need to learn more about that technique.
Yeah, I get it. Anything else that you found interesting in the chapter, Sally?
Just the last point he draws out. He ends each chapter with kind of a repeat.
Yeah, that's really
drawing together the main topics. And the end of this section, the last point he says is basically, put the important things first, determine what's best next, title of the book. So, understanding, looking at the world through these rose-colored glasses and understanding that everything you're doing, every decision you're making to either take on another project or not take it on or whatever is all part of your sanctified service, then determining what's best next hopefully flows from that, and you can, focus on those things.
So for those of you following along at home, next time, which will be next month at some point, we will do the next section, which is entitled Define. Know what's most important. So
that's, that's the point he leaves us off. You got to focus on what's best next, and now we're going to figure out how to define that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, great.
And I should make a quick mention, Martin, that I'm looking at the Amazon page. I'll throw it up, a screen share. On Amazon, the Kindle version is now just $2.99. So if you want to read along with us, you can grab that Kindle version of the book for $2.99.
Less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Go for it.
Good deal. Let's move on to the next segment of the show, which is traditionally ministry resources.
Ministry resources, and we have a couple of productivity type
imagine that
resources to share. The first is perhaps a blog that you read, Martin. I think you found this link anywhere. How to get things done using your calendar effectively. So a recent blog post from Tim, is it Chalice? And ideas for using your calendar, and not just for scheduling appointments, but I think more of a task management kind of thing. And he's drawing distinctions between things that belong on your task list versus using reminders and calendar dates and things to creatively work your to-do list through your calendaring. So check this out. I think he uses Google Calendar as his example. He's got color coding and reminders and all kinds of things explained in this blog post.
So a little side note, Google Calendar's getting an update, a spruce up on, I don't think it's come to iOS yet, but on Android devices, fresh coat of paint, looks really nice, very visual, so it makes it a little bit easier to use.
Excellent. One more ministry resource, another productivity. This one is from pastors.com. I'm not sure if
I've
been on
this
site.
Not a site I'm unfamiliar with, yeah.
Yeah, pastors.com. They have an article here, 17 tips for staying productive in ministry. And I think some of these are more generic, not really ministry specific, but generic to kind of a self-managed type position where you need to, generate your own task list and carry them out in a reasonable manner. So they have a lot of little tips like, do a small part immediately, remind yourself of the benefits of completing the job, kind of self-motivation type things, but helpful in terms of productivity as well. So
I like the little picture they have in the article. It's the desk pasted full of Post-it notes. So I bet that's not too far from the truth for some. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's our ministry resources. We also have some news and tech. Martin, I think you were the one who found that Gmail 5.0 is available for Android.
Yep, and Gmail, along with the calendar that I mentioned, has a facelift, but they've added some functionality too. So on Android, if you do the upgrade to Gmail, they're making Gmail into more of a all your email accounts kind of tool. So it will allow you to add an Exchange account or a Yahoo or an Outlook account. So in your Gmail, you'll be able to have different accounts, not just Google accounts, but different other accounts that you can bring into the same interface. What it doesn't do, which I wish it did, is have a unified inbox. That's one thing that iOS does really nicely on the iPad and the iPhone, is that you can have a one inbox and get all your email in one place versus having to click on an account to see what email is coming into that particular account. So don't have that yet. I bet that's in the future. But if you're looking, if you like the Gmail interface, with threaded stuff and, you know, those kinds of tools, you're lucky day if you're on Android, because you can get all your other email accounts in Gmail at this point. I wonder if they're going to change the name of that at some point. Gmail obviously seems to go along with Google Mail versus all the other stuff now that you can bring into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the news in tech.
All right, time for my pick of the week then. I believe that's what's up next.
Fire when ready.
And I found a great combination, an ebook written to teach churches how to use Instagram. I read this in a blog post this week from Church Mag, and they have a new ebook called 30 Days of Instagram for Churches. It's not a free thing. They give you a little description of what you can expect, and at the end of the article, you have to pay for this ebook if you're interested. I believe the price is $4.99. And so I went ahead and bit the bullet and spent the big bucks and got a copy of the ebook. And I actually got three versions, because they give you a PDF, EPUB, and Mobi, so you can use it with your Kindle reader or your other reader apparatus, whatever it may be. And I found it a good basic guide to getting started with Instagram. So it starts at the very beginning from creating an account, gives you screenshots all along the way, and it's set up in this format of read one chapter a day and, you know, take it kind of step by step, one step at a time each day. And they walk you through, you know, different settings, different things like that. They encourage you to follow people. They help you understand how to like things, how to use hashtags, all kinds of nuances of using Instagram. And then as you progress through the month, they give you ideas for creating your own images beyond just photography. They give you photography ideas, but they also give you ideas for adding, for instance, text overlay or taking some images from the web and incorporating them in specific ways. They actually walk you through all the different filters, all the different settings in the software. I guess I didn't know there was so much you could do with Instagram, but they've got every detail outlined here. And I got to the end of the book. I haven't thoroughly read everything. I've only made it about a third of the way through. But as I was looking through toward the end of the book, day 30 comes. And then you get bonus days, as if 30 days weren't enough. They've added on some extra topics. And this was just published last month. And so, you know, it's very current as they've added new things into Instagram. They talk about all these different extra things that you can take advantage of. And really good idea for strategizing around a church account and sharing and engaging with people using the Instagram platform. So if you're interested at all, or perhaps you have a volunteer in your congregation that might be willing to take on your Instagram persona for your congregation, this might be a worthy investment to read Chris Wilson's 30 Days, I think that's the guy's name that wrote it. This is a blog post author, but 30 Days of Instagram. Yep, Christopher Wilson. He's actually an American teaching in Poland, teaching English in Poland. So he also does freelance writing, and this is a project of his. And I think it's well done. It's worth the $5, in my opinion.
Yeah, cool. I think Instagram is maybe one of the answers to that question we get a lot, Sally, is what's next? You know, what is it that churches ought to be paying attention to? You know, is it Twitter? Is it this? Is it that? Instagram is definitely in the conversation. So if your congregation isn't familiar with it or your ministry, this definitely, I think, would be something to grab onto and get familiar with. So cool. Nice find. Okay. I like it. My pick of the week is iOS now has Microsoft Office. Now, you could always, not always, but for the last year or so, you could open up Office documents on your iOS device, iPhone or iPad. But Microsoft has really upped the ante on this and made available the ability to have almost full-fledged mobile apps that mimic a lot of the desktop features that you have for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And what they've also done is they've made it free so that you can create documents, save them to OneDrive. There was an announcement, we didn't have it in News and Tech, but you can now save these documents to Dropbox. So lots of different integrations, and even without an Office 365 subscription. If you do have an Office 365 subscription, it opens up some premium features, but the ability to have full-fledged Word, Excel, and PowerPoint editing tools. They released OneNote a while back, and that's an awesome app as well. So there's really feature parity across whatever platform you're using, whether you're using iOS, Android, or Windows. The Android versions are just in beta right now, but I'm assuming they'll be released by the end of the year. But if you have to work with Office documents, the tools are actually very full features. I'd work with them. It's a little more challenging on an iPhone, Sally, but I think you know, workable, but definitely on an iPad, you have really a lot of creative control over it, including, you know, columns and margins and even commenting. You know, obviously fonts and highlighting and those kinds of things are all available as well, but table of contents, all that stuff is kind of baked in, so you've got a lot of options there, and Microsoft's done a nice job, all for free.
Yep, I was thinking iPad with an external keyboard.
Yeah, could do that too. Yeah,
you definitely want to save your screen real estate for viewing your document, not having the keyboard taking up half of the screen or whatever.
Yeah. So I think the play here is you're not really there. There are some definite limitations if you go in the Google Docs world. I think especially with like Sheets, not a great spreadsheet, especially in a mobile environment. Boy, it'll drive you nuts. But these kind of tools are, I think, a lot better than that. Even Apple's own software, whatever they call their numbers.
Numbers.
I think they call it numbers,
right.
Yeah. So especially in spreadsheets, but word processing and now presentation software is good too. So got some options.
Excellent.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Wells Insider, what's going on in the Wells world?
Going on in the Wells world is a unique opportunity for our listeners to participate in mission work, in that we are currently collecting iPhone 4 donations for the World Mission area of Malawi. The ministers, the native ministers out in the bush in Malawi can communicate more easily via iPhone 4. But what we need are models either from AT&T or T-Mobile, or ones that are unlocked GSM format.
GSM, right.
And so we're collecting those at the Senate Technology Office for sending them over to Malawi. So if you have a phone that you aren't using anymore and you'd like to donate it to World Mission Work, you can get it to us. We have a web page that explains all the ins and outs of it, and we'll tell you how to send it to us. So check out the link in the show notes.
Get the word out, too. If you don't have one, just ask around. Maybe put a note in your bulletin. In your congregation would be a great idea. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Need to know a couple of things coming up. Some training that somebody I know is doing. Sally Draper is her name. Final Web for Dummies, January 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Beginner intermediate, advanced. This is all online training, so you can enjoy this from the comfort of your office or home. And it's all-day training, but you get the full suite of training tools and training guidance, and you have that that sage that will help you through all of your final web questions. But you do have to sign up, and that is at bit.ly/FWTrainingInfo. FW stands for Final Web, of course.
Yeah, I'm going to tell my boys you called me a sage. I think that might boost me up in the Dungeons and Dragons world or something. I don't know. That's the title I haven't ever had before.
Final Web Sage.
Yeah.
And we're go ahead.
Also planning a big party next summer. It's called Wells Tech Conference 2015. And we would love to have you as a part of our conference. Our registration isn't quite ready yet, but what is ready is a little place where you can give us your name and email address over on our website. And then when it is released, we will notify you of updates related to the conference. So head on over to wells.net/wellstechconf. You can read about our keynote speakers. We're really excited about bringing you some really interesting talks from Dave Tess and Steve Betcher, as well as a guy named Martin Spriggs. So that should be fun.
Threw me in there because they needed to fill the space.
We have pre-conference half-day workshops that will be available on hands-on sessions where you can come and work through various topics. We have conference breakout sessions, 10 different breakout sessions, Martin. I think people that attend are going to have difficulty picking between all the different sessions that are available and the great information that you can absorb at this conference. There'll be evening events. There'll be a vendor fair. It's going to be a party. We want you to be a part of it. I don't know if it's even here on the schedule, but on Friday night, we're going to be doing Wells Tech Podcast, and it's going to be the 400th episode that we're going to be recording live there at Wells Tech Conference 2015. So much going on, and you don't want to miss out. So head on over at wells.net/wellstechconf and give us your name and contact information so we can keep you in the loop.
Very good. Let's move on to community feedback.
All right, and first up, Martin, you had a message recently from Pastor Clint Rogus, who serves down at Grace in Scroggins, Texas. Hi, Clint. Happy to hear from you, and your question was related to Office 365 for nonprofits.
Yeah, he had asked. He had remembered us maybe mentioning that Office was free for nonprofits. And that is absolutely true, so I forwarded him the link, and we'll put that in the show notes, too. The catch, if there is a catch, is the free version. You have to kind of qualify for it, of course, for nonprofits, is that it's the online versions. But you still get some of the other cool tools that come along with an Office 365 subscription, including SharePoint, so online file storage, OneDrive for business, Exchange, so email, that kind of stuff. So that's worth it. But he responded right away when I sent him the link, and he was kind of excited about the $2 option. If you go to the site and do a little exploring, you'll see that there is a $2 option. If you click right there on See All Plans, Sally, you can see the grid. There's a little green button, See All Plans. Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
$2 per user per month option, the Office 365 Nonprofit Business Premium, does provide the installed versions of those applications if that's what you're looking for. So he was going to look into whether that might fit his organization and go from there. So
that's $24 a year, maybe you have five people in your church and school office that need it. So for a minimal amount of money, $125 a year, basically, you could have full-fledged Office for everyone.
Flashing your math skills there, aren't you?
I am. It was a little slow, but yeah. Woo!
All right. What are we hearing from Twitter?
Over on Twitter, we were pointed to Kingdom Workers, a recent post of Faith in Action 2015 volunteer opportunities. So they have a full calendar for 2015 of areas where folks can volunteer and serve through the Faith in Action Corps. And some of them are worldwide opportunities, like in Japan and Chile, and the vast majority are local, domestic opportunities, we might call them, here in the United States. Many canvassing opportunities.
Some very short-term, some longer-term.
Mm-hmm. So. Lots of VBSs and soccer camps and all kinds of fun things that you can get involved in 2015.
That's awesome.
Now's a good time to, you got your pickings here, you know, whatever dates are good on your calendar, there's a opportunity there that is just waiting for you to come and volunteer and help out with those ministry efforts. So check it out. It's at kingdomworkers.com/opportunities.php, and we'll have that link in the show notes. We also heard from Mark and Leslie Bergerman. They are faithful volunteers at Good Shepherd in West Allis, Wisconsin, and they are involved in managing their Google email on their domain. They have a final website, but they've signed up for Google Apps for nonprofits and have it using their email, and they ran into an issue where Google Mail sent to email groups was rejected, particularly when the web links or a list of email addresses was included. So there was some tightening of spam-type security on their group email. And Mark contacted Google support, and he got a solution. She included a link in her email, and we can include that link in the show notes. It has to do with SPF records. I had to read about SPF records. That stands for Sender Policy Framework. And it's a type of DNS record that identifies which mail servers are permitted to send email on behalf of your domain. So it's keeping them from spoofing your email address. Basically, spammers might send email that looks like it came from your domain. And somehow this framework, this rule set, was blocking these group emails. But they gave them some magic code to make use of, and Leslie details it in this listserv post. And the other nice thing, positive side note, was that Mark had a great experience with Google support. He was able to reach out to them by phone with no waiting and without cost. They followed up on the issue several days later to make sure everything was working properly. And she just closes by saying, I sure hope Google will continue to offer Google Apps for free with that awesome level of support.
That's been my experience too, Sally. Maybe you've experienced it too. If you're a Google Apps, you know, for a nonprofit or school, you get a number and a priority code, whatever, and call in. And I've had really good experiences as well when I've had domain issues or whatever. Somebody is trying to, you know, get the Wells.net domain squared away for our Google Apps, and just had all kinds of trouble working through the system. I just wasn't working, and gave them a call, and they walked me through it and were real helpful.
Excellent, excellent feedback. All right, a couple of links that I saved over on our DIGO group. One is to a Church Mag article from the end of October where they walk you through all things new about Logos.
Logos 6.
Version. Yeah. And this is a really nice article. They talk a little bit about the books that you receive, how the library is increased, and that kind of thing. But rather than a lot of text descriptions, they have a whole series
pictures, videos,
of video tutorials.
Visual learners rejoice.
It's a short thing, but you know, like there's inline search, well, they demonstrate it. There's cultural concepts, they demonstrate it. And it's a pretty lengthy list of videos that they put
awesome.
Together to walk you right through all the new things that are part of Logos 6. So check out this article, and they've crowned it king of Bible study tools and are true fans over here on the Church Mag site. So if you too are in the Logos arena, you want to learn about what's new, check out this article.
Cool.
And then finally, Martin, I tagged some articles related to website redesign. Now the source of this slide share that I share is related to library website redesign specifically, but I think the concepts that are explained here apply to any website redesign, and one of the links off of it is an article called Stop Redesigning and Start Tuning Your Site Instead. And what I found was interesting was they're basically advocating fine-tuning your website, not making drastic changes to your website, like let's just start all over again and completely reconfigure everything and redo everything, because your audience is comfortable with the way it is and they need small incremental changes. And that's actually a lot easier to implement than a big, huge start from scratch redesign. So they're really advocating just keeping it simple and doing things in very small steps and not just reacting and redesigning from scratch. And, you know, there's a reason I tagged these, because it seems like from my work experience that there was a period of time where everything was new and we were building and building and building websites, and now we've entered kind of a phase two where every site that I know of is ready to be redone, and everybody's anxious to re-architect their sites, to refresh their sites. You know, I encounter it with our final web users. They are ready for something new in terms of design or whatever it may be. And a lot of times people think it would be better to just start over from scratch. And I'm sure there's circumstances where that's true, but that's why reading these things just gave me a little bit of a different perspective, that perhaps it's better to fine-tune than to start from scratch, at least in some circumstances.
Good point. Yeah, I think that's awesome advice, because really content is key, and as long as they can find it, that's really what you're after. It needs to be a good experience, of course, and I think one of the reasons that a lot of sites are thinking redesign right now, and that's why Wells.net is being redesigned, is to make it mobile-friendly. The old site was not mobile-friendly, and the platform was not really going to permit it to do so, so thus the need for a complete overhaul. So that might be one of those reasons where you need to go a different direction. And even on Final Web, there are some mobile-friendly templates that might be preferred over others.
So. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, as a rule, maybe don't jump to a new platform every opportunity you want to redo or whatever. Mm-hmm. So. Good reading.
Nellie, we're going to do this show next week, Lord willing. We have a topic. What is that topic?
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk all about online learning, Martin, and all the different opportunities that are out there to learn something new via the web, including our wonderful friends here at Martin Luther College, and especially the Graduate Studies and Continuing Ed area, where they have a lot of online learning opportunities. So Dr. John Meyer is going to join us for that show and bring us up to speed on MLC offerings, and we'll dive a little deeper into other areas as well. Looking forward to it.
Very good. For our featured video of the week, we are going to point everybody to a series of online Bible studies that we've got going through our adult discipleship group here at the Synod. They do something called Interactive Faith, and probably every season, you know, fall, spring, summer, they do a Bible study. They find an expert, somebody who's very gifted in the delivery of and the management of Bible study. And Pastor Mike Quant, formerly Professor Mike Quant from the seminary, agreed to do one on the book of Jonah, God's Grace to Runaways. He subtitled it. Excellently done. So we'll have a link here to the first in the series, Jonah Part 1. It's a four-part series. He does it 4 weeks. It's designed really for groups to get together. We've used these, Sally, in our technology meetings, where we have a little Bible study on Tuesdays, or now Mondays, and gone through this. Just excellent materials, good delivery. They're about an hour long if you go from start to finish, which and he leaves time for discussion questions. So that's our featured video of the week.
Yep, that's over on our Vimeo like list, because we don't want to just be YouTubers. We got to, you know, keep the balance. So that's actually a Vimeo video. We have a like list, so you can follow that list if you want to see all the different videos we feature on Vimeo.
If you want to contribute to the show, and we really wish you would, go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you will see across the top right of the page all kinds of ways to contribute, including Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest. There's the listserv. You can send us a good old-fashioned email. or even that link on the right side of the page that says send a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice and wonderful opportunities to share with the class. And that's always kind of cool, rather than us just talking about what we think you might be interested in. Share what you found to be interesting, what's worked, what questions you have. Join the conversation. That's really the point of the show. So, Sally, thank you so much for all your efforts once again. You make this show really go, and I enjoy spending an hour with you a week in this particular endeavor. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for joining, and God's blessings.